Brave New World.
Hello and welcome to a Brave New World programme. My name's John Harrison. Now, all of us experience coincidences. Mostly we forget about them quickly and dismiss any thoughts about how weird it is that such things happen, despite the fact that they do seem to occur a lot. My guest today, Dr. Lawrence Brown, who has defended a thesis on the subject of coincidences, recognises that there are different types of coincidence, and the implications of coincidentality are truly profound. Welcome to the programme, Lawrence.
Thank you.
Now, it's a huge subject, and I know that we're not going to even approach covering probably just one aspect of it in 15 minutes, but could you very briefly describe what are the main types of coincidence that academics, researchers, philosophers have come to at this moment in time?
Well, there's actually a bit of a schism within academia in relation to coincidences, because on one side you've got the mathematical thinking,
yep,
and the mainstream philosophical thinking, which basically looks at chance and causal reasons for coincidences.
Mm-hmm.
On the other side, you have the more like the Jungian way of looking at it, which includes things, synchronicity, which is another word for meaningful coincidence,
mm-hmm,
where meaning is the criteria, and the other one, chance or causal preconditions, are the criteria. And there's one other aspect, which is also in a bit of a no-no, which is parapsychological reasons for coincidence, such as there's a phone rings and you know who's on the phone.
Yeah. I mean, the difference between what people term to be a coincidence and serendipity, the fact that I
right.
happened to meet you a couple of weeks ago, you know, sitting in a field
right.
in Australia,
yeah,
was not
right.
really a coincidence, was it? Because we were both there for the same reason. We were attending
yeah,
a function.
Right.
And so on a,
yeah,
on a meaning level, on a Jungian level, then that wouldn't really qualify as a coincidence. Is that right?
It doesn't really qualify. So
yeah,
if I go to a Leonard Cohen concert, and I'm a fan of Leonard Cohen,
yeah,
and you go to the same concert, and because you're a fan of Leonard Cohen, it's like, wow, what an incredible coincidence
yeah.
to meet you. Well, it isn't. Because so we call that a common cause coincidence. There's a causal reasons for that thing to happen.
Yeah, but on the other hand, a truly amazing occurrence like finding out that your sister is reading something that you want to read at the moment, at the very second, the moment in time that you're thinking about reading that book. Okay, I suppose
yeah.
that could also be mathematically explained because she's your sister, and therefore, genetically speaking, her makeup is quite similar to yours. But can you give me an example of a happening that would be beyond that sort of stuff?
Well, you have to have no possible causal connection.
Mm-hmm.
And I can give an experience from myself. A few years ago, I was flying on an aeroplane from Sydney to Brisbane
yep.
and listening to my iPod. And on the iPod, there was a chap was talking about people who had frozen emotions. And the frozen emotions, he said, were like frostbite. You don't feel your limbs if they have frostbite until they start to thaw. In the same way, if your emotions are frozen, you don't feel them until they start to thaw or melt. And I thought, well, that's very interesting, but it doesn't really refer to me. And then as I was listening, I turned and looked at the tray table of the lady sitting next to me on the plane, and she was reading a novel, and the name of the novel was Frostbite.
Right.
And it went chunk.
Right.
And it went poof.
Right.
And that second, it said to me, this does apply to you.
Right.
Because there was something from the outside which accorded or corresponded with something from the inside. It's also called meaning equivalence. If there's a meaning equivalence from the outside and the inside
right.
at the same time, even later, but that's when the meaningful coincidence comes in, where the connection is meaning and not mathematics.
Okay.
So mathematics has nothing to say about meaning.
Now, that would then imply an existence of an inner and an outer. That would imply, I think in Jungian terms, the existence of another reality, of a sort of basic underlying structure which supports a surface structure, which we would call an outside level. I'm making this up as I'm going along, but I do know a little bit about Jungian's theories, and I don't know whether they're theories or not, really, to be honest with you. Does that sort of relate to what the ancients, you know, ancient Greeks, perhaps Hippocrates, would consider as to be the sympathy of all things, a sort of basic underlying structure, which is harmonious? And also, let me finish my sentence, something that people would tap into, for example, diviners, possibly so-called holy men, or shamans or whatever, they would be able to have access to that in a greater way than normal people.
Well, Jung postulated what he called the unus mundus, which is taken from scholastic philosophy of about 13th century or something like that, yeah. 14th century, whenever that was. And the idea is underneath the world, the bifurcation of mind and matter. So I'm looking at the desk in front of me.
Yeah.
So underneath this dualism that we're always in, we're always embedded in this object and subject. Underneath that, there is what he called a one world, a unus mundus.
Right.
Now, what he postulated is that when you had a meaningful coincidence and something on the outside and something on the inside corresponded, for a split second, the duality shifted into whew, and there was a unitive experience, and that was like, whoa, and then the doors closed again and you went back to normal.
Yeah.
And that's like my experience seeing that book, Frostbite, went poof, poof.
Right, right, right. Now, there's a danger here, isn't there? Anybody who studied,
psychology,
there is a danger of this thing called essentialism, you know, when we regard the nature, but at the same time, natural laws can be very severe. And I think people who've studied, you know, some German naturalist philosophy will agree that you could argue that would be a basis for nationalism and so on. But this is not really to do with that, is it? It's a different level.
Well, it's not. It's just to do with everyday coincidences.
Yeah.
People experience coincidences and they're analyzed in different ways. And what I was saying earlier was that there's a sort of schism within academia between
yeah.
the mathematical way of looking at it and causal way of looking at it and the one which uses meaning,
yeah.
which is more of a Jungian way. And what I tried to do is develop a model which incorporates four main areas. And I can tell you what the areas are if you're...
Let's take a short break. I'll come back and I'll ask you to do exactly that.
Okay, right.
Let's take a break here.
Brave New World.
Welcome back to Brave New World program. Today I'm grateful to be able to talk to Dr. Lawrence Brown about coincidences. Now, Dr. Brown, you were just about to give us your vision of how coincidences can be analyzed, described, categorized, if you like. You got to give us four different types. Please go ahead.
I've postulated, and this is based on common sense, that there are four basic ways which coincidences have traditionally been analyzed or looked at or whatever. And the first would be pure chance, like something is random, you win the lottery, or you win the lottery twice.
Right.
You win the lottery three times. Next one, there's cause.
Right.
Why did Darwin and Wallace come up with natural selection at the same time? And there's a common cause. They both read Malthus. They both were operating at that particular
right.
time. And there may be another thing called a direct cause. The reason why I won three lotteries is because it's fixed.
Right.
Someone fixed the lottery, so I won it three times. So there you have two, what would you call the more academically conventional ways of looking at it.
Yeah.
Chance, random chance, and conventional natural causality.
Yep.
Now
yep.
then there's two other sections, and the synchronicity or meaningful coincidence, what Jung calls synchronicity, is indistinguishable from chance, apart from
yeah.
what's going on inside the person experiencing it.
Okay, so what you're saying is that it's not a synchronistic experience, as Jung would say, unless that person, the witness, if you like, the witness, which is the person, understands the implications of that happening. Is that what you mean?
No, I don't think it's necessary that they have to understand.
Mm-hmm.
They have an immediate... There's three ingredients would go into what you might call a synchronistic event. And that would be, first, there would be a meaning equivalence between the psychological framework of the person
yeah.
and the outer experience. Secondly, there would be a moment of absolute knowledge, or you could say deep insight, which is like, oh my God, before any analysis came in. And the third one would be what he called a sense of the numinous. It's like, oh, you know, sort
mm-hmm.
of a sense of awe.
Mm-hmm.
So those three things together would be the ingredients needed for this experience. And he said that it's, in one place, he said it's a rupture of time which resembles religious experience.
We've got 2.5 minutes left. I'm going to ask you three questions which have implications to human existence, the future of the universe, and so on. So first question, how does this affect religion? I mean, how does the recognition of a synchronistic event affect our understanding of God and religions? Well, I know they're two different things.
Well, I don't think it necessarily does, but okay. What it does is opens the door to the possibility that there is an underlying unity, that there's a psychophysical unity underlying, we could say, mind and matter, that mind is not reduced to an epiphenomenon of the brain, that it is fundamental.
Okay, but surely that has vast implications on our understanding of God.
Vast implications. And what conclusion I came out of doing this study, as this world is psychophysical, it's not physical.
I mean, this is what many religions are talking about, isn't it, in a way? In a way, it's proving religions, but in a way, it's disproving religion, because it's saying that you don't have to be a member of a particular religion to experience this. If this thing exists, then everybody can somehow tune into it. And that's my final question. Can you train yourself to be more attuned to all this sort of stuff?
I think you can.
Okay.
Yes, I think you can, yeah. And just by being conscious when these things crop up, less likely to dismiss it. But it's less likely to be a big deal either. It's just like, okay, right, I'm getting this indication, let's do this and that. And not to interpret or project onto it, oh, wow, that's fantastic, and it means I should do this. Like people looking at astrology columns and that sort of thing.
And also, I suppose it's the whole thing of, you know, people when they get older or something happens to them, they have an accident or an enlightenment session or something, and they change their lives. I mean, I'm thinking about Jung himself. When he got into his final years, he went and lived in a cottage somewhere and chopped wood and stuff like that, you know. And
yeah, he went to his summer house in Bollingen,
right,
on Lake Zurich.
And
he did that, and he became more in tuned with the ebb and flow of life, and he sort of modeled himself on a Chinese sage type, which was, it's really quite lovely.
Yeah.
So I think that's a good example for us, that as we get older, we, you know, the gap between these two things is not like a Cartesian split. Mm-hmm. It's much more amorphous. You know, say that something happens, okay, well, I got to take it easy here.
That's fascinating. Final question then, why is it that more attention is not being paid to this whole area? I mean, you are quite an exception, aren't you? I haven't actually come across many people researching coincidences in my life so far, you know.
Right, because of this bifurcation within academia, there's a non-speaking, there's two sides of academia don't talk to each other.
I see,
they just,
right.
They say meaning is no place in the mathematical modeling.
Right.
And one thing, I just say this, Jung made, I think, an error by saying that meaningful coincidences happen a lot more often than they should statistically. But there's no evidence for that. And I don't think you need to make that claim to make synchronicity valid. I think it's totally valid, you know, without having to be more. It can be just the same as natural chance, but it's something that just happens within the person. But it's prior to intellectualization. That's the thing.
It's prior to intellectualization.
And something I haven't got onto, which is the cosmic coincidences.
What are they?
The chance that there's a planet. The cosmic coincidences are the parameters of the universe which make it possible for there to be a universe which can give rise to stars and galaxies and even at this level a planet. Where there's human life, and even in it's just like unbelievable. Those coincidences make 500 times getting black at Monte Carlo a picnic, whereas the coincidences which is so unlikely in this world are so remarkable but we don't look at the context in which we're existing, which is this planet, and people are about to do something nasty to it. Possibly.
Right.
All these small ways, like coincidences, like the environment, just people can wake up and see and possibly make some change. So that would be my
motivation for doing
it. Dr. Brown,
may I just sum up in a few words, and correct me if I'm wrong, I might well be.
Yep.
Listeners, if you've just come across this program by chance and you're listening to this, perhaps it is a chance happening. But if you're listening to this program and something registers inside you and you go, wow, now, is that a coincidence?
I think you can't say one way or the other.
Okay.
It may be just a serendipity, as you mentioned at the beginning.
All right. Thank you very much indeed, Dr. Lawrence Brown. I hope that your good work of reminding people that we live in a world full of remarkable coincidences brings you happiness and them.
Thank you.
Just to remind you, listeners, today I've been talking to Dr. Lawrence Brown, a British and now Australian philosopher and teacher. Tune in again next week. Goodbye.